Yes, well, I will endeavour to give a sermon today. I haven't had one all week, haven't had a topic. It was coming up, and I did my best to get communion out last week. But when I was going, well, what am I going to speak on today? And then about an hour before the service, it suddenly hit me, you know. As I say to Wayne all the time, you're right on what you know. And there was something that happened during this week that in Pal Talk that I thought, well, this would be a good topic to talk on, and that is the nature of prayer. I think that in Christian circles there is some people who don't understand the true nature of prayer. So I thought, well, let's look today at the true nature of prayer. I mean, I know that everyone has a basic understanding of what prayer is, but sometimes you might see someone else say something about prayer, and you might think, well, I'm not sure if that's right or correct. Let's look at some of the specifics of prayer. Where do we pray? Well, we can pray in a private room or secret place. You know, even Jesus went off in solitude to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "But you, when you pray, enter into your room and shutting your door, pray to the Father in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret shall reward you openly." Why do we pray in a secret place? You know, well, we can pray anywhere, but when you really want to have a deep prayer time with God, well, you don't have a deep, meaningful conversation with a person out in public where the crowds are, because you can't be open and honest because other people might hear you, you know. You go into a secret place because you can be completely honest with God without fear that anyone's going to hear what you're talking to God about. We should pray in church. Of course we should pray in church, you know. "My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations I will bless the Lord," says Psalms 26, verse 12. You know, being in the house of the Lord with others who are also there to meet with God, there's no other better place to pray. And prayer can be a thing of unity, and we can build each other up. You know, in 1 Kings 8:22, Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards the heavens. Where else can we pray? Well, everywhere and anywhere. You know, we should therefore desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. You know, in a car or wherever we are, we should be able to pray. You know, when to pray? Well, any time. You know, there's verses though that are specific. You know, like 1 Titus 2, verse 8. "In the morning, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer to you and I will look up." Psalm 5, verse 3. You know, when I wake up, usually my first thought is on God. You know, I wake up and I think, oh, it's another day. You know, sometimes I feel good, sometimes I feel bad. But it's always good to start the morning off with God, because then you're prepared for the day. You know, people get up and they're so busy during the day and they never have time to pray, that they figure out that if they actually take the time to pray in the morning, even if their day's the same, it's a lot easier because God is helping you through it. Psalm 55, verse 17 says we should pray morning, noon, and night. "I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice in evening, morning, and at noon." Psalm 88, verse 1 says, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before you." In Psalm 86, verse 3, it says, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you daily." I mean, do you get it? God is on duty to hear your prayers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You will not be put on hold. You'll not be put in a queue. You know, he's right there, always on the main line, you know. Jesus spoke a parable that says, "Men always ought to pray and not lose heart." I was in Luke 18:1. I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16-18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, it's not always easy to pray in all circumstances, especially when times get really hard, because I know that to be true for me at the current moment, you know. Life is not necessarily easy. But if I wasn't praying, it would be a lot harder. I mean, we pray and we ask for God's strength, help and encouragement. And if we weren't praying, then we would have to rely on our own strength and our will. And that's limited. And we would fall very quickly. How should we pray? Well, we should pray boldly. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We are sons or daughters of God. We have the right to come to God and ask of Him. So we should come boldly, you know, expecting to talk to God. That is our, you know, that's the way you talk to your parents, that's the way you talk to friends, that's the way we talk to God. We come boldly, you know, expecting for God to listen to us. I mean, let's look at an example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verses 22-25. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, will not the judge of all earth do right?" Now, Abraham wasn't presuming to know what God should do, but he was boldly requesting of God that if there be 50 righteous people in Sodom, that it shouldn't be destroyed. Now, of course, we know that there wasn't that many people in Sodom, but God gave Abraham the chance to take Lot and his wife and get out of there. How else should we pray? We should pray with an attitude of deep love and respect for God. You know, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Abra, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions." That's in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Now, the most important thing about prayer is that we should pray conversationally. You know, prayer is a conversation with God. That's where our focus should start. Why do we pray? Because we want to talk to God. You know, if we do not talk with God, how can we hope to improve, have a deeper relationship with God? You know, it's like a marriage or brothers or sisters. You know, if you stop talking to a person, and your relationship with them will dwindle very quickly. It will just disappear. Why? Because there's no communication. There's nothing that continues to build the foundation upon that which that relationship is built. So we have to see that prayer is not just, you know, something that we do as a ritual, or, you know, that we do because we're a Christian, we must pray. No, prayer is conversation with God. You know, He wants to hear about our everyday lives, you know. He knows everything about us, but He wants to hear that from us anyway. You know, and we have to realize that no one's prayers are more important than yours when it's something that you want. You know, if there's something that you want from God, then your prayers are the most important, because God cannot answer a prayer that is specifically to do with you unless you're the one asking for it. People can pray for you, but God says that, you know, if we don't ask, we don't receive. And so we have to realize that if we're praying something for ourselves, our prayers are most important in that area. You know, God is a person, you know, namely, He's our Father in heaven. Prayer is a deeply personal, intimate conversation with our Father. It's not some magical incantation or religious babbling. You know, and when you pray, you do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be made heard for their many words. And that's what Matthew tells us, is that the religious people of the day, in Jesus' day, they used a lot of words and repetitions to show that they could pray. Well, let's look at what to pray. You know, what should we pray? In the model prayer that Jesus taught us, you know, we all know the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in him, on earth as it is in him. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Yeah, that's in Matthew chapter 6. So what do we see in this prayer? You know, we see that Jesus is praying to the Father. He acknowledges God's holiness. He seeks God's kingdom and God's will. He requests God's daily provision. He urges to confess your sins and seek forgiveness, to request strength to resist evil and temptation, and to offer praises unto God. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer we are supposed to memorize and simply recite to God. I know a lot of people do that. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that. But it's only an example of how to pray and the things that we should go into a prayer. Worship, trust in God, requests, confession, protection, you know, etc. Pray for these kinds of things, but speak to God using your own words. Because after all, you're communicating with God. He wants to hear what you have to say, not what someone else has written. He wants us to share our sorrows and joys with him. You know, James chapter 5 verse 13 says, "If any among you suffering, let him pray. Is any cheerful, let him sing praise." God knows what we're suffering, but he wants to hear about those things from us so that he can share them with us. You know, when we cry, he cries. When we're happy, he's happy, because he wants to share in all those emotions. We should pray for spiritual and physical healing for ourselves and for others. In James chapter 5 again says, "Pray for one another that you may be healed." Prayer is a powerful thing. We should pray for those who, you know, this is a thing, we should pray for those who govern our nation and our world, that we may live in peace and holiness. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 it says, "Pray for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." You know, God is the one that appoints our leaders. So isn't it right that we should therefore pray for them, that they will lead the country in godly ways and make decisions that respect him? You know, we should pray for discernment and wisdom. James chapter 1 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." You know, we also see in 1 Kings chapter 3, you know, here's Solomon, the story of Solomon. And this is the prayer that he prayed, you know. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, Father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased Solomon had asked for this. So God said, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but in discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that you will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." So we see that Solomon asked, not for himself, but something that would benefit other people. He asked for discernment and wisdom. And because he sought something godly, because he sought something that was in God's will, you know, it's like that thing that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's because he sought God's wisdom first that God added to him wealth and riches, and said, if you obey my statute and commands, I will give you a long life. What else should we pray for? We should pray for our enemies. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. God wants us to pray for our enemies. Because by doing that, we grow. By doing that, we learn to love unconditionally as God loves us. You know, we should pray for all our needs. We should give thanks always unto God, to always seek and receive. God's peace that surpasses all understanding. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, Philippians chapter 4. There's other verses in Philippians that are great in telling us about prayer. You know, prayer is effective. In 1 John 5 it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, so whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. The prayer of James chapter 5 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's what Ephesians 6 says. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's Romans chapter 8. You know, the Spirit is groaning there. That is when we do not know what to express. You know, it could be a time of great trials or a time of a lot of pain. You know, that is where the Spirit can intercede for us, because we are incapable of doing it ourselves. Of course, we should all know that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, prayer is what we do to ask God for forgiveness. Prayer is where we go when we know we have done wrong. Then we talk to God and we say, I have sinned against you. I have been disobedient. And I want to ask for forgiveness. You know, our true nature as Christians and in prayer is not in public, but as in private. When no one watches, you know, when only God can see us. When we pray in public, we should not try to show people that we know how to pray, because that can lead to pride. We should be able to focus less on those around us and focus more on God. You know, Matthew chapter 6 says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When we should pray, I did a discipleship course once. And the one thing I learned was the KISS principle, you know. Keep it short and specific. When we pray, we should be asking, talking to God. You know, it's not just about asking for what we need, but it's talking to God and being specific, because you wouldn't go up to some other person and just ramble on and on and on. Why? Because that person would either become disinterested or bored or would lose track of what you're trying to say. You know? We shouldn't think that God is any different to any other person that we're talking to. Let's see, in Luke chapter 18, it goes on to say that to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to a temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers. or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I got. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, this is the one thing that we should avoid. You know, if we're out in public, we should avoid showing off to other people that we know how to pray. If we are fluent in prayer, then we should be talk quieter, because we don't want to be enter into that place where we become prideful. You know, that pride can enter in that we know how to pray and be fluent in prayer because other people don't. So, prayer, is it powerful? Prayer is very powerful. You know, the power of prayer should not be underestimated. James chapter 5 declares, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was just a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. God most definitely listens to prayers, answers prayers, and moves in response to prayers. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 tells us, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, and every pretension sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The Bible urges us in Ephesians chapter 6, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. You know, we should always be ready to pray. You know, I was with a group once who, a group of young guys, and we did a thing on prayer with them. We asked them, we gave them different situations. We said, what's the first thing you should do? You know, there was a car accident, and there was different, you know, different bad situations. And not one of the situations did any of them say the first thing they should do was pray. You know, that is the one thing we sometimes forget to do. The first thing we should do in any situation is pray. Then ring someone, or then do this or that. Because as soon as we pray, God can get into working into that situation. Now, this power of prayer, how do we tap into it? The power of prayer is not the result of a person praying, but rather the power resides in the God who is being prayed to. You know, 1 John 5 tells us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked. No matter who the person praying, or the passion behind the prayer, or even the purpose of the prayer, God answers prayers that are in agreement with his will. His answers are not always yes, but are always in our best interest. When our desires line up with his will, we will come to understand that in time, our desires must line up with his will. When we pray passionately and purposely, according to God's will, God responds powerfully. In Mark chapter 11, you know, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it, in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know, the biggest thing to prayer, the biggest thing that falls down when we pray, you know, when we pray, we have to have faith in what we believe. We have to believe what we're praying. Because it has to come from the heart. If we don't believe it, then we shouldn't expect to get it. Because it's only words from our mouth. You know, John chapter 14 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. So that this is what Jesus was saying. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus taught, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know, sometimes we ask God for an answer, and he gives it to us, but we don't see it because sometimes the answer is no. And we don't see no as an answer to the question. We always want it to be meaningful or, you know, yes. Prayer is communicating with God. All we have to do is ask for his help, and he will. Psalm chapter 107 says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven." There is power in prayer. The Word of God is full of accounts describing the power of prayer in various situations. The power of prayer has overcome enemies, such as in Psalm chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. It has conquered death, 2 Kings chapter 4. It's brought healing, as in James chapter 5. It has defeated demons, in Mark chapter 9. God, through prayer, opens eyes, changes hearts, heals wounds, and grants wisdom. The power of prayer should never be underestimated because it draws on the glory and might of the infinitely powerful God of the universe. Daniel chapter 4 verse 35 proclaims, "All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" So this comes to the thing that I want to caution, is that prayer is not demanding from God. You know, what right do we have to go to God in prayer and demand anything? For what right does a creation have to demand of its creator? You know, James chapter 4 says, "When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." That is why it's so important for our prayers to line up with his will, to his desires. You know, there's a term to seek the Father's heart. And that's what it's about, seeking the desires of God's heart. Because if we're asking with the wrong motives, then God will not answer us. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Look not on his appearance or the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." You know, when we pray, it doesn't matter what's coming out of our mouth. If it doesn't match what's in our heart, you know, our heart and our mouth don't match up, then God won't answer that prayer, because that's a double-mind prayer. We're saying one thing out of our heart and different words coming out of our mouth. You know, if we do not ask, we do not receive. We cannot access the powerful prayer by using magic formulas. Our prayers begin being answered not on the base of eloquent words of our prayers. We don't have to use certain words or phrases to get God to answer our prayers or even to get his attention. In fact, Jesus rebukes those who pray using repetitions. You know, "Don't pray like those pagans babbling on and on, for they think they'll be heard. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you ask." Now, one thing I heard someone say is that they came into a room. Now, I don't know whether you'll know this person. This is sort of what prompted this sermon, is that I saw someone come in and they posted something and wanted other people to pray for them and to post it on prayer boards. And they said, "God, force people to obey them. Force people to obey you." And I thought, yeah, that's just wrong. Why is it wrong? Because God doesn't force anybody to do anything. And then they use the example that God forced Jonah to obey him. What they misunderstand is that God didn't force Jonah to go to Nineveh. God asked Jonah as a prophet of God. You know, he was called a prophet. He knew his calling. He knew his responsibilities was as a prophet, being a representative of God to the people. He was meant to go and warn the people that they were doing wrong. That was his responsibility, and he knew it. God asked him to go, and he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to follow his calling. So what did he do? He ran away. He got on a ship. A storm came, and they had to throw him overboard. You know, they didn't want to throw him overboard, but they had no choice in the end. But that storm wasn't because God was trying to convince or force Jonah to obey him. That storm was because Jonah had disobeyed him. That's because he'd run away in the first place. It was punishment. But God gave him a second chance, because when he threw him overboard, Jonah could have died, drowned in the water. But the fish swallowed him up. So he had time, he had a second chance to contemplate what he'd done. And inside that fish, he knew he'd done the wrong thing, because he had denied the calling on his life. He denied who he was. And so he prayed, and he asked for forgiveness. And he said, you know, in chapter 2 of Jonah, you know, he goes on to say, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that can be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it spit Jonah onto the dry land." Now, this is, we have to realize that God doesn't force people to do anything. We can't try and force God's hand to help us. We can't try and, you know, demand from God, "Oh, I need this." Because God is the one that gives everything. But if we approach with that kind of motivation, why should God give it to us? It wouldn't be a very responsible parenting thing to do, to give everything that we demand. And so that's the point of prayer, that prayer is a conversation. Prayer is respect and reverence that the God who created the world and everything in it, you know, as Acts tells us, it's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. You know, the prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is, you know, sharing our lives with God and praising him for the things that he does. And when we put him first, then he will supply our needs, because he's willing to meet our needs, because we are willing to revere him for who he is. We are willing to share our lives with him and admit that we can't do this without him. That's what prayer is about. That's the true nature of prayer, that prayer is a conversation with God, that we ask for things with respect. We do not demand them. And we do not think that God will force anybody to do something just because we ask God to do that. God is a gentle God. You know, he respects the free will he gave us. And he will not force us or force anyone else to do things. Dear Lord, I just pray that as we go out from here today, Lord, Lord, we will see prayer as an intimate conversation with you that we can have anywhere at any time, that we can share our entire lives with you on a day-by-day basis, that as we communicate with you, that we can grow closer to knowing who you are. And then as we grow closer to who you are, that we may become more like you, that we may reflect who you are. I pray that we will come to understand that through prayer comes faith, and through faith, understanding. Just pray that you'll be with us and help us all to grow in our prayer life and our faith today. In Jesus' name, amen.